Last week, our gospel from Matthew started off with the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is the high point of Jesus' preaching ministry. The Sermon on the Mount starts off with Jesus listing all the Beatitudes. Blessed are they who are poor in spirit, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. Blessed are those who seek humility. Blessed are they who, you have to excuse me, distracted here. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who are mourned, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. This is about a way of life, a way of emptying ourselves, being dependent, on God for all that is good. Well, today we continue with Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, pondering on these words. Jesus asked his disciples to be the salt of the earth and light of the world. And we are left with the question, what does this mean? It doesn't mean that we leave our responsibilities, rush out, and get involved in all kinds of good works. The question challenges us to practice our Christianity, not just in church, but out in the world, in whatever situation we happen to find ourselves. All the more so if by reason of our position, we happen to be situated on some hilltop where all can see us and where people look to us for light. Here are some examples. If I am a teacher, what do people expect from me? That I teach well and that I refrain from showing favoritism. If I show favoritism, then I bring light to some and darkness to others. If I am a judge, what do people expect from me? They expect justice. Justice is the salt of society. A corrupt court is worse than a highway robbery. A good judge causes the light of justice to shine. If I'm a politician, what do people expect from me? They expect that I work for the common good of all, not just for my own good. Corrupt politician has much to answer for. A good politician can bring light into the lives of many. If I am a police officer, what do people expect of me? That I should not try to bend the law or break it, but uphold it and enforce it fairly and respect all people. If I am an employer, what do people expect from me? Then, that I pay a fair wage and create decent working condition for my employees. People who do this shed much light around them. If I am a worker, what do people expect from me? That I know my job and do it to the best of my ability. If I am a parent, what do my children expect from me? That I put everything before everything else, including my own career. I can continue to multiply this list and not cover everything or every profession. But each of us must look at our own situation and ask ourselves how we can bring our beliefs to that situation, to that workplace. How can I be the salt and light to those whom we encounter? We may not be able to become a beacon. We can at least be a humble candle which sheds light somewhere unto someone. Today's gospel is about goodness. Goodness cannot be put on the deeds that I do. But at the same time, it is through these deeds that we show the authenticity of our lives and of what we believe as we are Christians and try to help one another. As I said, about last week, this is the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus' point is that the kingdom of God is at hand. And while we are waiting to enter that eternal kingdom in heaven, we are on earth, and we are the stewards of what we have. As we look at the Beatitudes, they call us to be dependent on God. But also, they call us to, be grateful for what we have and to share it with others. No one wakes up and decides that they want to be homeless. No one wakes up and decides that they want to be a drug addict. No one wakes up and decides that they want to be a prostitute or be held captive in human trafficking. We were not born to carry illegal weapons so that we can harm one another. And all these issues that I have pointed to are a result of social marginalization, lack of opportunities for people. Thus, we are called to do something. But we are called to be the light and salt of the world. And we do not do anything without God's grace. God's grace is something that we do not earn. It is freely given. But it is through prayer and meditation that we become aware of God's union with us so that we can look after the needs of others. Very often people tell me they do not know how to pray, or that they stop praying. Praying is a process. It takes time. It takes discipline. All what really one needs to do is to open up Scripture. All what one needs to do is to go to the Psalms. In Psalm 23, we hear, "The Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want." Psalm 25, "Lord, show me your ways." Psalm 40, "Do not withhold your compassion from me. May your mercy and faithfulness continuously protect me." This is all God's grace. And it is through that grace that we are able to be the light and salt of the earth. We have first Holy Communicants with us today, and this is a part of your journey. When you were baptized, your parents brought you to church to be immersed into the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the word "beloved" is written on each of your hearts. And this is a lifetime commitment, not just a commitment for a day. And part of that promise that your parents made was to bring you up in the church. In going to church, we learn to pray. We also learn to take care of others. And one of our many prayers is going to Mass. where we take simple bread and simple wine, and through prayers it becomes the body and blood of Christ. And when we eat of the body and blood of Christ, we grow in closer union with him. This is not a show. It is not a toy. It is not a game. And I hope that this is, you know, not the first time you receive communion. I hope that you receive communion every week for the rest of your lives. So this is not an achievement. This is an event in your life, part of the journey, because we need the Word of God as well as the Eucharist to help us in our journey to be faithful to the people that God is asking us to be. So my prayer for you is that you will recognize the importance of this event, and we will continue to pray for you and for all your families. In turn, we ask that you pray for everyone in the church, because we need your prayers and your support as much as you need our prayers and support.